Take a closer look. Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logminas. I'm so glad you're there, and especially since I want you to turn up your dial right now or turn up your volume, because we're going to talk about Aquinas. And everyone should know Aquinas. And if you think this is just for scholars, academics, people doing their postdoctorate or postgraduate degree work in theology, no. Well, yeah, it's for them too, but it's for you as well. And especially now that the Thomistic Institute has a new course out that you can take wherever you are, Aquinas 101. This is wonderful. I want you to take this course. Take it with me. I'll take it with you. I'm excited. Professor Chad Pecknold is here to tell us more about it. He's Associate Professor of Theology and a Fellow of the Institute for Human Ecology at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. He's a commentator on religion and politics, and you can read his columns at CatholicHeraldUS.com. Professor Pecknold, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Sheila, and to talk to your listeners.
I love talking about Aquinas with anybody, and so I was delving in with. I have a thick stack of books. I was pulling one after the other off different shelves and different bookcases. And Chad, I got to tell you, I thought, wait a minute, I can't prep for today's show with all these books. I just need to stick with what you wrote in CatholicHeraldUS.com. Think titled "Think Aquinas Is Too Hard?" This excellent new course will change your mind. What about Aquinas 101? It's like when Peter Kraft wrote Summa of the Summa and a shorter Summa, and it's just like keep breaking it down, right? Because Aquinas is the greatest philosopher, the greatest theologian. He's accessible to everyone. And yet, Chad, don't most Catholics and Christians think he's just over their heads?
I think that's right. You know, it's a pity that people think that. I mean, they'll turn to actually works that are much more difficult in a way, thinking that they're hitting a spiritual classic, and they usually are hitting some spiritual classic, thinking that a spiritual work will be easier than Thomas Aquinas. But actually, Thomas Aquinas is crystal clear. You'll never be in doubt about what he's talking about. You might need to read slowly, but it's crystal clear. And, you know, he intended his Summa to be for the training of beginners. And while mastering the Summa takes a kind of long study and skill, actually understanding the Summa, any beginner can do it with a little bit of guidance. And I think that's what the Thomistic Institute is doing in these 86 videos that they prepared to be delivered to your email twice a week. And I think it's the kind of formation that faithful Catholics need to take more seriously. If we aren't putting good doctrine in, we're going to be more vulnerable to bad doctrine, and we won't be able to identify it.
So, Chad, to that point exactly, we're more vulnerable to the winds of change, to winds of so-called, yeah, you know, fluid doctrine, the same way as Constitution, the living, breathing Constitution, as opposed to the originalist text. Same thing. You actually open your article with the fact that you say modern theologians, especially in the post-war period, mm-hmm, often spoke as though the Catholic Church was going to need to change in order to maintain relevance, yeah, in the modern world. So talk about that. That being a springboard into why we need Aquinas right now as much as ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was what I was thinking about when the Thomistic Institute presented that they were going to teach this incredible course. I thought, well, this is a kind of antidote that the people of God need. They need to kind of be refreshed. They heard through sermons, through generations of sermons, I think a kind of progressive approach that the church's teaching is going to change. I mean, we heard this in the 70s and the 80s, and that the dissent over Humanae Vitae looked like, you know, such a church-dividing issue because the theologians were very much driving the idea that the church's teachings were going to change. And I think what we've learned is that the church's teachings aren't going to change. And they aren't going to change, especially on those points where they touch the eternal truth. And so being formed by the eternal truth, which is why Thomas has survived for 800 years, his thought has survived for 800 years, not because it's kept up with the times, but because it transcends the times. And so if we are going to be also people who transcend our own times, we have to be formed by that which transcends our times. And I think that kind of tapping in to that sap of wisdom that's right there in the tree of Aquinas is, it's easier than you think, and it will form you better than you know.
Well, so talk some more, Professor Chad Pecknold, about why Aquinas will form you better than you ever know when people think, well, he's just so ancient. How could he be relevant right now? As you said, mm-hmm. He's crystal clear with he's actually extremely accessible. And then I'm sure mm-hmm. the Thomistic Institute in Aquinas 101 in this is free, folks. This is free, if I didn't say that.
Totally free, yeah.
Free video courses from the Thomistic Institute that help you engage life's most urgent philosophical and theological questions with the wisdom of Thomas Aquinas. And Chad, to that point, back, you can't say it enough. He's crystal clear. He tells the truth all the time, but so clearly when people are, you know, fudging it today in a lot of ways, others are buying into that. It's being nuanced in many ways, where Thomas just plucks the true gem right out of the mine. You go into a coal mine, right? And he just leaves the coal behind and finds the nugget in there of gold, if you will. And he draws it out. Go ahead.
He does. Well, I was just going to say, it's not only that he gives you the timeless truth, it's also he gives you some of the timeless objections to truth.
Yes.
And I think this is underestimated, too, about Thomas, is that he actually will teach you, you know, for example, all of the objections to the Eucharist, to the Catholic understanding of the Eucharist, that come out in the 16th century are all stated in Thomas in the 13th century. He knows all of these kinds of objections that might be made to a Catholic understanding of the Eucharist as sacrifice, to the Eucharist as Christ's body and blood. These are all objections that he has heard before, and that he takes those objections seriously, and he responds to them in a crystal clear way that's talking to you just the way you and I are talking, with clear distinctions. And I think the average Catholic is well served by that, is well served by just hearing an objection and hearing an objection answered. Because we hear objections to our faith all the time, and we don't always know how to answer them. But Thomas tells you what those objections are, and then he tells you what the answer to those objections are. And I think that's deeply illuminating for the average Catholic who doesn't always know how to respond to people's doubts about the faith. Even if they don't have doubts, they don't know how to respond to people's doubts.
Oh, that right there is so worth the series, the Aquinas 101 series that Professor Chad Pecknold and I are talking about, the Thomistic Institute is offering you now, and you can take this just at the link I posted online. Talk about that a little bit more, elaborate on that, because this is what we really need to learn today, because too many conversation stoppers that are they're thrown mm-hmm. up to us by people who don't believe in our faith, don't believe in allowing Christians to have a voice in the public square, right? Don't believe in allowing people to run their maybe a small business they run according to the beliefs of the teachings of their faith, but they have to run it according to what secular, the prevailing ideology of the moment requires, according to public policy, if they can shape that, get the courts to shape that or get the courts to mandate that. And this Thomas understood all of this was happening.
Yeah.
He understood it would continue to happen. But to draw out your point even more, which is really Thomas's point, talk about the fact that and how Thomas taught this still teaches us this, that we have to know what our theological and ideological opponents in the culture are saying and what they mean by it and the arguments they're making to us in order to charitably, but with clarity, mm-hmm. counter them.
Yeah. And I think also our other Christians who don't assent to the fullness of Catholic faith, his objections are both objections. He entertains objections internal to Christian faith and objections that might come from those sort of virtuous pagans. The thing I would say about the thing that I learn and is very hard to do, I mean, Thomas is the exemplar in this, is that he hears a cacophonous set of objections, none of which really are as coherent as he articulates. That is, he gives a better articulation of the objection than the objectors make. And I think this is extraordinary, that when you look at the set of objections that always follow the question of a Summa article, they're very pithy, and he's stated succinctly mm-hmm. what is at the heart of, you know, half a dozen different objections he's heard. But he's gotten down to the principle. What's the principal objection? And that enables him then to analyze and answer the objection more clearly and succinctly than if he just took the cacophonous kind of set of primal screams against the faith. That's a kind of intellectual charity. It's not, I'm going to be nice charity. It's like, I'm going to take what your objections are, and I'm going to make them better, and then I'm going to respond to them.
That's great. You're right about that. He does that so well. This is so important that we understand what people who don't hold the beliefs that we hold, and that is, as Professor Pecknold points out so well, important clarification there, that it's also our fellow Catholics in the pews. A lot of people, you know, we know our church is divided. If you want to get into the political realm on the left and the right, we know we have fellow Catholics who do, Pew study shows that, no longer believe in the true presence in the Eucharist. This has got to be met with a greater show of faith and not less, with more relevance than ever than less. And we're talking about Aquinas 101 being the antidote to all of that, because Thomas Aquinas, you put it so well, Chad, he understood the objectors better than they were able to articulate themselves. So he made them sound better, and then he turned around. It's like, listen to somebody, and they're going to be probably surprised that you're even listening to them in the first place. Then repeat back to them. I'm talking to the folks out there, coast to coast. Listen, you repeat back to people who don't agree with you, if they're willing to debate you. Then say, repeat back to them, this is what I hear you saying, correct? And first of all, they're going to be startled that you heard them. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand why you believe what you do based on your premise. Now let's talk about the premise, right? So this is what you learn from Aquinas. If you have any questions about studying Aquinas, by all means, Professor Pecknold is here to answer them. 888-914-9149. We'll tell you more about how to get in on this class, free class, videos, online, Aquinas 101, next.
Take a closer look. Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logmina. I'm going to try to fit a lot into this final segment with Professor Chad Pecknold, my guest, Associate Professor of Theology and a Fellow of the Institute for Human Ecology at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. His article that we're talking about right now about Aquinas 101, an online free video course you can start taking. Tell you more about that in a moment. He wrote about that at CatholicHeraldUS.com. You can find his articles, his columns there. I publish different ones of them. Published this one today. Think Aquinas is too hard, he writes, This excellent new course will change your mind. And within his article is a link straight to the Aquinas 101 page where the Thomistic Institute will allow you to enroll right now for free for their course. And I propose, let's just take this together. I'll sign up right now, and you sign up right now, and we'll take it together. So, Professor Pecknold, tell our listeners, it's just that easy. You provided the link. When people go to that site, Aquinas 101, ThomisticInstitute.org. So it's Aquinas101.ThomisticInstitute.org. But I've got the link on my show page. People can enroll right now, and when they do, they're going to receive a free e-copy of On Happiness, Selections from the Summa Theologia, that's introduced and compiled by Father Dominic Legge. But talk about the importance of doing, the fact that that people can do this from home, and they can do it just by clicking on Enroll Now.
Yes, and it's a very simple enrollment form. You just put your name and an email in, and you'll get to, as you say, you'll get the compilation From Happiness from Father Dominic Legge, and then twice a week you will get installments of these lessons, which will allow you to go at a reasonable pace through the basic overview of the Summa, Theologia, is great masterwork. And also, on the website is the whole Summa. So you don't even need to have the book. It's all right there on the website. You don't need to buy a book. All you have to do is sign up, and you get the videos, in addition to the videos, there is additional reading that if you're very ambitious and you say, hey, I can do more than a few videos a week, there'll be additional reading. And let's say you're reading something and it's not as easy as Technold's saying, and you get caught on something, there's a feature on the website, an Ask the Friar feature, and you just will click on that, and you can ask a friar, a Dominican friar who's deeply acquainted with the thought of St. Thomas. You can ask any question you want, and you'll get a response from a Dominican who can guide you through your questions. And it, you know, that is just unheard of, to have that kind of attentiveness and formation and education. I think we have a great debt that we now owe the Dominicans for offering this to to Catholics.
I'm really glad you pointed it out in your article, Think Aquinas Is Too Hard, that there's this excellent new course out that will change your mind. This is for every one of you, anyone at any level. And we were just talking earlier about your children. If your children are maybe just starting college, you know, send this link to them. It would be great for them. So Chad, that kind of gives
high
us a perfect
school. I think this is great. I think
high school?
High schoolers can do this. Absolutely.
Of course. Thomas is so accessible at almost just about any age. And in high schools, wouldn't they love this? It's not a challenge. They would love the authenticity. Talk about that, because you write about that a lot. I love your writing on the authenticity, the beauty of the liturgy, rightly done and well done in tradition and sacred teaching and tradition. And then you've recently written, and this segues perfectly into it, and Thomas goes with it too, that the article about why do so few U.S. Catholics believe in the real presence. Look at the liturgy. Let's talk about that for a moment, because you point out what the Pew survey said. One out of the 69% of Catholics surveyed who believe that the bread and wine are mere symbols, only 22% of them understood that they're descending from the church's actual teaching. What's going on here? You, Chad Pecknold, say the liturgy has something to do with it.
Well, I do think that, you know, people intuitively know that, okay, we're here saying go and read Thomas Aquinas because that's going to inform your intellect. But I think people also intuitively know that they're being formed in other ways, too. They're being formed by how they're asked to move their bodies at Mass, to the kind of reverence they show the Eucharist. These things also teach, and they teach us in some ways that can kind of run contrary to what we know to be true. So if you're learning something with your body, as it were, if the aesthetics of Mass, if Father is playing a personality game with the Mass, rather than following the rubrics and creating a liturgy that is full of splendor and reverence, the body learns something just like the mind learns something. And so we need both the mind being formed by good content, and we need the soul and the heart and the body being formed at Mass by good content, by beautiful hymns, by scholas, by chanting, by silence, as Cardinal Seurat says, by reverent genuflecting, by receiving on the tongue rather than taking with the hand. All of these things train the body up in high reverence for God, just as Aquinas trains the mind up in high reverence for God.
And staying on exactly, I'm glad you did, staying on Thomas Aquinas, the course, if you just tuned in, Aquinas 101, available right now, free enrollment, videos in your own home or at your own computer, your own digital device. I've got the link up. You write a different article about this, the belief in the true presence in the Eucharist, bringing Thomas Aquinas into this, that he, Aquinas, raises the question in the third part of the Summa whether the Eucharist is merely a figure, a sign. Understanding people might believe that, a sign or a symbol of Christ's presence, and he treats that possibility that perhaps when Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, that he intended only a spiritual meaning, and Thomas goes into the explanation of that. And you said he explains the correct view. The elements of bread and wine undergo a transformation, so they become the presence of Christ's true body and blood. What changes, you go on to say? Certainly not something in just our understanding. It truly changes. It's all, Aquinas explains this too.
Well, and just as you said it so beautifully there, that we can see Thomas taking the objection seriously. You know, when the Pew study came out, many of us kind of like threw our hands up, you know, and said, "Oh my gosh, how terrible! What a terrible thing!" Thomas's response is, "Oh, all right, let's just take the claim seriously. You know, is it just a figure? Well, let's take that claim seriously and deal with the error. What's the error? Well, if you thought of it as just a sign, then all the significance of the Eucharist would just be in you, rather than in the Eucharist itself. And you see, well, if that's the case, then as Flannery O'Connor said at a dinner party once, to hell with it. and I think Thomas helps us to, I think, not only address the objections that were present in the 13th century, but the objections we see all around us in the 21st century.
Well, it's a lot to talk about, and we're very low on time. I wanted to get into your article in the Catholic Herald, Professor Pecknold. I quote respectfully dissent. Close quote, Justice Weinberg in Australia in the Supreme Court there, his brave rebuttal of the case against Cardinal Pell. Since we only have 2 minutes and we can't really take all that up on that, just your thoughts that it's really, I don't know, you can't call it a gamble, but it's all Cardinal Pell has left in Australia to take his case now to the last venue, and that's the High Court. We have to pray for Cardinal Pell.
We do. I think we have to pray for Cardinal Pell. I think we also have to pray for Australia, because I don't think Australians realize that this is a judgment upon them and their nation and on rule of law there. I think Justice Weinberg gave all of, I mean, he wrote 2/3 of the opinion. Mm-hmm. And he's a former director of prosecutions. He knows how weak the case is, and he wrote the opinion in a sense for the High Court so that the High Court would have every reason to take it. And so I think we should also be praying for the High Court, the 7 justices of the High Court, that they'll take the case and that they will see that simply you need more than an earnest witness to have a cardinal convicted of crimes.
It's just so stunning, and we never underestimate the power of prayer. So pray, as Professor Pecknold said, not only, yes, for Cardinal Pell, but for the members of the court who will hear the case, because it's his last venue. Meanwhile, those who know him know he's doing a lot of spreading the gospel in the jail to which he's been consigned right now. Professor Pecknold, always illuminating, especially Aquinas 101. I'm eager to enroll, and I hope a lot of you will enroll with me. We'll talk again soon, Chad. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Sheila.
I love talking with you. I'm putting up the links to these articles I'm talking about, especially Aquinas 101. I'll see you online.